You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If you have a serious work-related injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea, our quarterback review of the season for the Browns. Very excited to go on the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and be joined by Bucky Brooks, who's the NFL media analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks, that's B-U-C-K-Y-B-R-O-O-K-S. And he's also the host of the College Football 24/7 podcast on NFL.com and iTunes. And if you want to get ready for the draft, that is a great podcast to listen to. Bucky, thanks so much for taking time to be with us here today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
You wrote an article yesterday, posted late last night, about NFL teams, nine of them that need to draft a quarterback. You hit the nail on the head right out of the gate that it's no coincidence the eight teams left in the playoffs all have very good quarterbacks. You mentioned the Cleveland Browns as one of those nine teams. They draft 12th in the NFL. They did take Johnny Manziel in the first round last year. How do you see the Browns quarterback situation headed into this offseason?
I think it's a situation that will continue to be evaluated. Obviously, you heard general manager Ray Farmer and even head coach Mike Pettine talking about wanting to have competition at that spot. And so you're going to have competition at a quarterback spot. Johnny Manziel was the number one pick. He played seven quarters, didn't get a chance to finish out the season, so we really haven't seen enough from him. But I do think that there are enough questions about not only his on-field, but his off-field actions to wonder, will he be the guy that can eventually be the franchise quarterback long-term? And so with that in mind, you either need to have a veteran in place if Brian Hoyer doesn't come back, or you have to explore maybe drafting the right quarterback if he falls to them somewhere in the draft.
Bucky, that being said, do you feel like we can make a splash in free agency? Because at 12th and 19th, do you think we've got to package something to move up to get a guy, or there's be something worth value, worth a franchise quarterback position at 12th or 19th in this year's draft?
You know, unfortunately, in this year's draft, I don't know. I think there are a lot of question marks in the draft. Some of the same questions that you had about Johnny Manziel as a player, you have with some of the top players potentially at the top of the quarterback class. And we talked about Marcus Mariota. Once again, you're talking about, can a guy make a transition from a spread offense to a pro-style system? And it's not necessarily, can he make the transition? Do you have an offensive coordinator that is willing to adapt what they've traditionally done to fit the skill sets of the quarterback? If Jameis Winston elects to come out, then you're dealing with another set of issues off the field where he may be more advanced as a passer, more pro-ready than the other guys that are in the class, but are you willing to kind of stomach maybe some of the PR headache that goes with it? So it's a lot for teams to consider because this draft class doesn't have necessarily a slam dunk when it comes to it just because of those issues that you have to address and really vet out before you can make a determination of whether the player is good enough to play in your system.
Bucky, let's go back to Johnny Manziel. What was your evaluation of him coming into the draft last year? And based on what you saw this year, how has it changed, if at all?
You know, it's funny because I was swayed and pleasantly surprised by Johnny Manziel heading through his final season at Texas A&M. I thought he made tremendous strides as a pocket passer. I thought I saw him work through progressions better. I knew he was a special playmaker. He did things that were kind of magical on the field. Mm-hmm. When I saw him as a pro, I think the one thing that stood out to me is, like, I was kind of impressed in his brief flashes against Buffalo. He kind of got them going, saw some up-tempo stuff, saw him run around and make plays. But I was in the building. I sat really field side for the Browns-Cleveland game. I mean, the Browns game versus the Panthers. And I was really surprised at how he wasn't able to run away from pro defenders yep. like he did in college. And so the thing that I thought would be advantageous for him, I didn't see that. And so when you have a player who athletically you can't outrun guys to the edge and then you're forced to make plays from the pocket and you're uncomfortable, I just came away with a huge question mark. So the big thing for Johnny Manziel is how much can he develop as a pocket passer? How comfortable can he be playing in kind of a rigid system or playing like, as we say, paint by numbers, 1, 2, 3, to before he flees the pocket? That will be the challenge for him because athletically, he's not a superior athlete to the defenses and the defenders that I saw on the field, and that was surprising to me based on what he did in the SEC at Texas A&M.
I agree. I thought when he played in college, the field seemed so big, and he always had room to run. And then when he was out there against Cincinnati and Carolina, the field seemed so small for him, and he had no room, nowhere to go. As you said, he wasn't able to out-athlete those guys in the NFL, and that could certainly be a problem. Here in Cleveland, I have my opinion. I know Matt has his. Brian Hoyer, local guy, came out, started the season off pretty well, then fizzled as the year went on. You know, he is now an unrestricted free agent. What do you see the market being for him as a free agent this year? Is he a starter in your mind or more of a backup?
You know, it's tough because, like, I mean, Brian Hoyer is what it is. I think Matt would say, like, the difference in starters and backup players in our league is significant because the difference in a starter, particularly at the quarterback position, the starter has to constantly reinvent himself. The more that you play, the more that you're on tape, the more defenses adjust to you. And so the guys that play for a long time in the league have the ability to continue to counter what defenses do. I think with Brian Hoyer, what we see is a guy who can manage the game. He does a great job of getting in and out plays. He has a level of arm talent that allows him to make most of the throws that you want. But what I didn't see was a guy that could take his game to another level. Even though I want to say he has a 10-5 record as a starter there, I think the big thing for him, all the pieces around him have to be in place for him to be a functional and productive starter. So in the right situation, he could be a guy that is your starter. But I think from an executive standpoint, he always leaves you wanting more. He can get you to a level, but I don't know if he can get you beyond that level unless you have the right things around you.
Bucky, do you feel that the Cleveland Browns, if they can shore up the quarterback position, hopefully this season and into the future, that they have the pieces in place to compete in the AFC North for the division each and every year and potentially make that playoff jump?
I mean, I think so. I think they're built the right way. I think everyone kind of speaks the same language from head coach to GM. Like, they understand the win in the AFC North. You got to be a physical team. You got to be defensive first-minded. You have to be able to run the football because the weather changes. And then you have to have a quarterback that can make plays. The one thing, when I look at that division, if you look at the quarterbacks of that division, all those guys, those are big physical guys. Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. I mean, Andy Dalton is kind of a little bit of the outlier, but he's still kind of a big, strong dude. The quarterback position in that division has to be a guy that can be rugged because you're facing, like, physical defenses that when they put licks on you, it changes the way that you play. It's something that you have to think about, but I think they're built the right way. I think they're trending in the right direction, but they do have to get the quarterback in place. And it may be on their roster, but that quarterback has to play at a level that gives them a chance to win those games down the stretch. And this year, they didn't get that kind of performance.
Bucky, as you look at where we're talking with Bucky Brooks from NFL.com and, of course, this College Football 24/7 podcast on NFL.com and iTunes, when you look at this quarterback class in the draft, you talk about the top two guys. I don't think, just knowing the way that the NFL is, that either one of those guys would be available to the Browns at number 12. Who are some of the guys that you would keep an eye on for this team in this division that could be available perhaps in the second round or in the third round this year?
You're talking about a quarterback?
Yes.
I don't, you know what, to be honest, I really don't know. Like, it is one of the shallowest pools of quarterbacks that we'll find in some time. Like, outside of those first two guys, it's really tough to get excited about any of those guys. And I know there was a kid up at Michigan State, Connor Cook, who said he's going back. But part of the reason there was a fascination about Connor Cook from Michigan State, the junior, is because he played in a pro-style system. When you watch him play at Michigan State, he plays in a system that looks like what we used to see on Sundays. He's made enough plays. Is he a developed or a fully polished product right now? No, but he's more comfortable. He's easier for offensive coordinators to get excited about because at least you know that he's been asked to do some of the things that you're going to ask your quarterback to do. Outside of him, the Brent Hundleys and some of the other quarterbacks, I mean, I think you're kind of just throwing it up against the wall and hoping that something sticks. I don't know if you can find a guy in the second or third round that will come in and really – be competitive when it comes to being a starter in the National Football League early in his career.
So it is tough. Nine teams you say need to draft a quarterback. There are certainly not nine quarterbacks to be drafted. So you look at the free agent pool, and let's say Jake Locker, Ryan Mallett, Mark Sanchez, probably at the top of that list, and then perhaps the Sam Bradford, if he is released, has an opportunity to be there as well. Of those guys, who do you think has what it takes to maybe turn it around when they get a fresh start and get to start somewhere else, perhaps in a place like Cleveland?
You know, it's funny because all those guys are kind of what they are. I mean, I think you have to understand after a while, like, a player is what he is. Like a Mark Sanchez, who probably could be the top of the list because he has led his team to two AFC championship games. He has shown flashes of being better. But, like, he's going to turn the ball over because that's kind of been his calling card throughout his career. The thing that you hope is that you can surround him with a strong running game and kind of put some of those dynamic weapons on the outside, and maybe it kind of falls into place for him. I think he's the guy that's at the top of the list. That's why when the conversation was buzzing about the Bears possibly parting ways with Jay Cutler, they can part ways with him, but best rest assured that someone out there would love to snap up a Jay Cutler because his talent is superior to any of those guys that you named, and every coach has an ego. They'd be willing to say that I can fix Jay Cutler, whatever's wrong with him, I can get that out of him.
Do you think it's important to bring in the right kind of guy to be able to work with a Johnny Manziel? Because, you know, you do have that investment with him as a first-round pick. Now, it's not the same as in years past where that would have been a franchise-crippling, you know, first-round miss, but you still have a significant investment in him to be the guy.
I mean, absolutely. Like, I think it's more imperative now that the quarterback and the offensive coordinator have the synergy, that you're able to really build around what the quarterback can do. Because you're really limited with the amount of time that you have around these players due to the new CBA and the way they've kind of changed the offseason rules, to get a young guy playing at a high level, you kind of have to build around what they're familiar with and hope that as they develop, you can add some things that are more traditional in that sense. And so with the Johnny Manziel, obviously you like to think that Kyle Shanahan is familiar with doing those things because he did it with RG3. But, yeah, it's important that the quarterback and the offensive coordinator are in lockstep and everyone is kind of bought into the quarterback so you can really kind of make every effort to put the guy in the right situation where he can be the best that he can be on the National Football League field.
Bucky Brooks from NFL.com, our guest. Bucky, last one for me. If you had the first pick of a quarterback this year and Jameis Winston does come out, are you a Winston or Mariota?
I would take Jameis Winston over Marcus Mariota because Jameis Winston has been asked to do things that we ask our quarterbacks to do in the National Football League. And when you watch him play, you see him make the anticipation throws. You see him throw the ball over the middle of the field in traffic, do all the things that the big-time quarterbacks have to do in the National Football League. Whereas when I look at Marcus Mariota, the majority of his work is done near the line of scrimmage. The passes that he does throw down the field are pretty much off pop pass action or yep. some related play action where guys are wide open. You're talking about maybe making a transition that is similar to a Colin Kaepernick, a RG3, even some of the things that Cam Newton has to do. So you really have to understand what you're getting and build it around his skill set. If not, you're going to be disappointed because he's not going to be able to do some of the things that traditional quarterbacks do right away.
Bucky Brooks, NFL media analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks and listen to the host to him as the host of the College Football 24/7 podcast on NFL.com and iTunes, breaking down the Browns quarterbacks, the rookie class, and the free agents. Bucky, appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. You guys tweeted a lot today about the Browns quarterback situation. We will give your voices an opportunity to be heard. We'll take your calls, 216-578-0850. All that and more when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns for the final segment on Quarterback Review Tuesday.